The reading today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 13. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can you ever remember being in physical danger as a young child? Perhaps a situation when you didn't feel secure. I'm pleased to say that my parents did a good job of keeping me safe. Perhaps the worst thing to happen to me was when I got lost in a department store and an overwhelming sense of panic came over me. But of course, we know there are many young children who face dangerous and difficult circumstances on a daily basis, sometimes in their own homes, but also in areas of conflict around the world. So far in Matthew's Gospel, the Christ child has had his credentials as the King of Israel verified on two counts. Firstly, by his genealogy, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And secondly, by the Magi, who on finding the child in Bethlehem, gave him gifts worthy of a king and bowed down to worship him. But there is imminent and real danger from the current ruler of Israel, Herod the Great. So soon, in the young child's life, something about Jesus would have no knowledge. God's plan of salvation for the world faces a very real threat. Herod the Great was a powerful and shrewd politician. During his lifetime, he maneuvered very successfully, not just in Israel, but amongst the ruling elite of the Roman Empire. He was an Idumean by descent, who came from the remnants of the Edomites, who had taken on a nominal form of the Jewish religion. He had married into the Jewish ruling Hasmonean dynasty, who had freed Israel from the Seleucids 130 years earlier. He was fiercely loyal to Rome, but knew how to work the system. He instigated lavish building projects in Israel, which including expanding the temple, making it far greater than it had ever been before. Now, when the Parthians captured Israel in 37 AD, Herod recaptured it on behalf of the Romans. Antony and Octavian, as a reward, gave him the title, the the king of the Jews. His paranoia and cruelty led him to kill anyone he thought was plotting against him. He had his first wife and two sons put to death. He also executed the remaining Hasmoneans who had a claim on the throne. Anyone of significance from the house of David would also be under threat. According to Josephus, when Herod was dying, he knew his death would be celebrated despite his work on the temple. So what he did, he gathered all the principal men together in the hippodrome and orders his soldiers to kill them when he died. This would ensure a great mourning, if not necessarily for him. This order was not carried out, but it shows the state of Herod's mind. But God knows all men's hearts, and he knew Herod's evil intentions. So God intervened directly, sending an angel to appear to Joseph in a dream. This is the second time an angel has appeared to Joseph. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. There is urgency in the warning because Bethlehem is just a short ride away from Jerusalem for Herod's soldiers. Joseph obeyed immediately and the family leave for Egypt. Egypt was just a 3-day journey away and there was a large Jewish community where they could hide outside of Herod's jurisdiction. And here, God's providence, as well as his direct intervention, can be seen. The gold given to them by the Magi would have paid for the journey and the accommodation in Egypt. God knew their needs in advance, as indeed he knows what we need day by day. This episode in Jesus's life fulfills the prophecy, "Out of Egypt I called my son," a quote which is taken from Hosea 11 verse 1. And this refers back to God delivering Israel out of Egypt. The verse in its original setting is not a prophecy about Jesus, but Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses it as a type to add meaning to his narrative about the Messiah. Just as God delivered Israel out of slavery in Egypt, so God has now delivered his son out of Egypt, both to fulfill their true calling by God. And Jesus in due course would be saviour of the world. What happens next, I think, is one of the most tragic stories in the New Testament, other than the crucifixion itself. When Herod realised that the Magi were not returning, he orders the killing of every male child up to 2 years old. While Jesus escaped by God's intervention, many Jewish babies were killed, perhaps as many as 12, by a ruthless and paranoid king, scared even of a young child from a poor family background. The heartbreak of the mothers is recorded in verse 18. They are devastated and refuse to be comforted. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. This is a quote from Jeremiah, and it makes an association with other Jewish mothers mourning the loss of their children nearly 600 years earlier. As young Jewish men were carried away into captivity in Babylon through the northern town of Ramah, Jewish mothers, represented by Rachel, came out to weep for their sons they would never see again. Why did God permit this massacre to occur? I don't know. Not until we come into the presence of God will we fully understand. However, the Bible does tell us that we live in a fallen world where sin has spoilt our relationship with God and with each other. God has given humankind free will, and men like Herod will continue to commit evil acts until Jesus returns to set things right. The paradox of God being in control on the one hand and evil still doing its worst will continue until the second coming. But God knows what it is to suffer, and he understands the pain and tragedy which affects the lives of his people and which affects us. In fact, God loved the world so much that he was not content for us to be left to our fate. He intervened in history by sending his son, Jesus, to die on a cross to save us from our sins. Throughout all the bad times, underpinning everything that takes place, are promises of redemption, restoration, spiritual and emotional healing. Promises which bring hope and, in the fullness of time, eternal life. On the death of Herod, around a couple of years later, the Lord appears twice more to Joseph with instructions. Firstly, to return to Israel, and then secondly, to go to Galilee to avoid Herod's son, Archelaus. He was even more crueler than his father. The Lord has now appeared to Joseph four times in dreams, and each time, he is obedient. And so the family settle in Nazareth and fulfill what was said by the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. A Nazarene is the term from someone who comes from Nazareth, rather like a Stokey is from someone from Stoke, or a Geordie is someone from the northeast. Is not to be confused with the strict Jewish sect, the Nazarites. The phrase, he was to be called a Nazarene, isn't found in the Old Testament. As Matthew uses the word prophets, plural, rather than the singular word prophet, commentators suggest that he was summarizing various Hebrew prophecies about the Messiah, having a despised and lowly character, the suffering servant. As such, Matthew uses the term Nazarene in a negative sense. The Jews of Galilee were disdained by their southern kin in Judea. They were considered materialistic and ignorant in spiritual matters. The Jews who lived in Nazareth were, in turn, looked down upon by the rest of those in Galilee. As Nathanael, Jesus' disciple, asked Nazareth, can anything good come from there? So this is where the King of the Jews, Jesus, who by divine intervention had avoided Herod's plot, would spend his formative years in obscurity, learning carpentry from his stepfather, Joseph, and learning spiritual truth from his heavenly father, until the start of his earthly ministry around 28 years later. We have a truly unique and wonderful saviour who knows what it is to be fully human and fully divine. This episode in Jesus' life is a reminder that God's plans cannot be thwarted, even though evil men like Herod often seem to prosper and commit terrible acts, like the slaughter of the innocents. Even as our own nation moves further away from its Christian heritage and moral code, God is still in control. We should not be discouraged. In our own lives, sometimes God intervenes in our difficult circumstances as an answer to prayer. Other times, we need to persevere despite our circumstances. But God never stops loving and caring for us. We are secure in the everlasting arms. We can have confidence that we are his children. God's ultimate promise is that whatever happens to us in this world, in the next, Jesus will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Amen.